for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Saturday morning, November 26, 2016. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Multiple Personality Disorder, subtitled The It Factor.
I tell you, that word freedom, how we've taken it for granted because we've never known anything different. I thank Him for even the smallest things now, like hot running water, indoor plumbing, air conditioning, heat, food, just the barest of necessities. To get in the car and go everywhere we want. There's nobody standing around with machine guns, not letting us go here or there. We really don't even know what it's like to live in that kind of place. But I am thankful. I thank God that I was born in America. And I told my mother, I feel like I've been given a stay of execution.
That's true.
Stay. Really. The enemy and all those who fight for him hate us. They want us dead. Make no mistake about that. That's why I love the things that God has given us, his name. I leave the house. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I send the angels before me wherever I'm going. I bind the spirits of death and destruction and violence and send out the angels to discover and expose every act of terrorism being planned before it can happen.
Amen.
And you know that I hear that all the time. I just,
amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. This Thanksgiving had a really deeper meaning. Well, what I'm going to talk about today is called, but listen carefully, because I'm not talking about the clinical doctor diagnosed multiple personality disorder, but I'm going to talk about multiple personality disorder. So let me just break it down. My subtitle is Dealing with the It Factor. The It Factor. The word multiple means many. Personality is that which constitutes an individual, a distinct person, or that which constitutes individuality. And if you don't know, then I'm telling you, demons have personalities. And if you don't know that it's a demon, then you think it's you. I lived a long time thinking that all of those evil things that I dealt with all the time, or that dealt with me, was me, when it really wasn't. It was an evil spirit. That was good news. Years ago, I could have never, ever stood up. If I knew that I was going to have to stand up here, I just wouldn't show up. That's what I did in speech class in college, because I had such tremendous fear of everything. I was fearful. Fear will make an idiot out of you. Do you know that? When I was in junior high school, they came with I think it was tuberculosis or TB or something, that they pricked the skin on your forearm. Only they had this little, it's almost like the stamp they use at the post office, you know. And I would watch these people go up there, and I was standing in line. They had us lined up down a long hall. And, oh, I was dreading my turn. And when it came my turn, I wouldn't even move. People dragged me. I mean, my feet were stiff like this, and I was screaming. I mean, just, that's ridiculous. I mean, fear is it's an evil spirit. It's a demon. If you have fear, you have a demon. They can pass down the family line. You don't pick them up at the grocery store. They come down your family line. We have so many generational things in us that define who we are, but it's not really who we are. It's not who God created us to be. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Disorder means want or lack of order or regular disposition, irregularity, tumult, commotion, disturbance, or agitation, usually accompanied with great noise, uproar, and confusion, violent commotion or agitation. See, we're seeing a lot of disorder in America. Disorder. Irregularity in the functions of the brain. Derangement of the intellect or reason. It can mean to break order, to derange, to disturb any regular disposition or arrangement of things, to put out of method, to throw into confusion, applicable to everything susceptible of order, to disturb or interrupt the natural functions, to produce sickness or indisposition, as to disorder the head or stomach. A headache would be a disorder. Stomach ache, viruses cause the body to get out of order, to decompose or disturb the mind, or to ruffle. So I want to introduce you to some personalities, not all of them, but some that are distinctly shown in the Bible. You will see that they have personalities. It's like, I describe sometimes what we do is like, almost like what doctors do. Doctors diagnose illnesses. How do they do that? By their behavior. Well, what are your symptoms? You start talking about your symptoms, and it's going to start pointing to a specific illness. Same way with demons. They have personalities. They have behaviors. And you can begin to know what spirit you're dealing with by the way it acts. And they all act exactly the same. In every single person, they act exactly the same. I'll just use one that I was very familiar with that ruled me for many years. And we call it the spirit of Jezebel. That name has kind of gotten a bad rap. We call it Jezebel because you look in the Bible at the things that she did. She, and of course she had to have the counterpart. And let me tell you, the spirits work like that. You have spirits around. If we could see in this room, there would be spirits all in the air. Angels and demons. And, you know, sometimes we call it fate when it's actually the workings of familiar spirits. You have a very, I use my son as an example. When he was in rebellion, he was into drugs, alcohol, theft, and he could be in anywhere and there would be another person that has those same spirits around them, and those two are going to be drawn to each other. This is how abuse works as well. You have the victim and you have the abuser. The victim has the beat down, controlled, oppressed, all of those spirits around them. And then the abuser has the bully spirit, control, violence. And the spirits look for each other. There was a woman who got raped when she was 16. Her daughter also got raped when she was 16. The granddaughter was 15, and this woman was about to have a nervous breakdown for fear that her granddaughter would be raped when she turned 16. Why does that happen? The mother never told anybody she was raped, but once she was raped, she had those spirits of rape. And then the rapist is out there with his spirits, and they spot each other. Do you ever wonder why somebody was picked out for that to happen to? That's how it happens. Spirits. That's why I like to break generational curses and give leave to the familiar spirits that are there, because they're working. You have a man who's unhappy in his marriage and a woman who's unhappy in her marriage, and he's looking and she's looking, and at a Christmas party they'll end up going home together. And you wonder, how in the world did that happen? Familiar spirits. Spirits. They're more involved in our lives than we would ever know. Okay, so Jesus said, wait, I forgot to make a point here. Without the ministry of casting out demons, there's only three things that you can do with them. You can medicate them, or the person that has them. You give them enough medicine and the demons can't work them. Or you can punish them. There are people, prisons full of people whose demons used them to do whatever it was they did. Like with my son, it was stealing. He called me up to his bedroom one night, and when I got up there, of course, he'd been in and out of jail, 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 until his crying didn't affect me anymore. Because, and this is before I knew about demons, I didn't know anything about spirits at that. I wish I had, because I would have just bound it, broke its power, and cast it out of him. Listen, it's better to get to them when they're babies. I say if I'd have understood deliverance when I had my babies, the delivery room would have had more than one meaning. I would have delivered the baby, and then I would have delivered the baby. And if you have children and they have spirits that you can see when they go to bed at night, go to their bedroom door and say, you spirit that's causing my child to do whatever, I bind you and break your power, and I command you to get out of them in Jesus' name. You don't have to do it that loud. Demons have supernatural hearing. Don't wake the kid up. They don't need to be a part of it. It might be scary for a child. But you have authority over those spirits. And we've let them rule things way too long. We've been at this for 2,000 years. Since Jesus gave us the authority, I'm like, why are we not further down the road than this? Well, because we don't do what the Bible says. Someone was talking about their sickness one day, and I said, well, let me ask you, have you gone to your pastor and asked him, called on the elders to anoint you with oil and pray for you? Well, no. Well, why not? Why do you call yourself a church and you don't even do what the Bible says? What are we doing? What is church for? The corporate body of Christ comes around. There's a power in this room. We should be performing miracles. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I used to pray every day for those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Father, grant to me this day words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, the gift of healings, the workings of miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and the discerning of spirits. And then one day, it dawned on me, wait a minute, if Jesus Christ is in me, then all of those things are there. Why are we not using them? So, one year, God said, I want my people healed. That was one of the first things he did for me. He healed me. That he set me free. Wow. Somebody touched me. While I was dying, somebody touched me and raised me from the dead.
God.
Yes. Well, I wasn't actually dying dead, but I was dying. I had depression. And I'm telling you, if God had not touched me and healed me instantly, I can't confidently tell you that I would be standing here today. Mental illness runs in our family. Well, they call it bipolar now. We gave it a nice name. Bipolar. It's manic depressant. It's a killer. That's its purpose, to kill you. And it was trying to kill me, and it almost succeeded. We had two people in our family commit suicide. It's there. You know, and when it's happening, now, I'll tell you what, I almost did a cheerleader jump, which would be a miracle for me. I found out recently I couldn't even get up in a chair. I was going to change a light bulb. I'm like, when did this happen? I couldn't even, you know, just put my foot up there and get in the chair. Couldn't do it. But I had an uncle that committed suicide. And his wife, who is now pushing 90, she said, "I've done a lot of thinking about what happened to her husband." She said, "You know what? I think he inherited that from his mother." Yeah. Oh, I was ready to do a cheerleader jump because that is a generationally inherited curse. I have another aunt. "Oh, I don't believe anybody's cursed us. I don't believe." I said, "Do you think alcoholism is a blessing? You think mental illness is a blessing? It is a curse. It may not be your neighbor across the street cursing you, but believe me, it's a curse. It's in the Bible. All those sicknesses, a curse." Listen, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all. Now, if they needed healing, that means they were sick or afflicted, right? Healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Make no mistake, sickness is from the devil. But Jesus Christ, hallelujah, shed every drop of his blood so that you could be made whole. Not just better. Not just living on medication. No, whole. When you get the reality of that, miracles happen. So in those 12 gifts or 9 gifts, one of them is the workings of miracles. And I've just kind of skimmed over that. But this year, at the beginning of this year, God started showing me that. The workings of miracles. So now when I pray, I go for it. I'm going for the miracle. The miracle working God is in us. In us. So those are the 3 things that you can do. Well, I didn't get to the third one. The third one is to manage and control it. It's not going to work. It may work for a while. When you're young and strong, you can keep that thing down. But when you get old and infirm, weak, the flesh gets weak, those demons come up and just rule you. Better get rid of them. If you know you got one, you better get rid of it. I say, and how does that work? Have you ever held a ball underneath the water in a swimming pool? It's hard to hold that ball under the water. And some people can do it for a while, and then that ball pops up, and there you are. That's why I love that Jesus made an open shame of them, because I tell you what, they have made an open shame of me many times. So we need to get rid of these things. And Jesus Christ has given us power and authority to deal with them, to cast them out. You cannot counsel a demon. Can't counsel them because it's the person you're counseling. But you know what? That demon is like, it's like that game we used to play at the fair, whack-a-mole. Yeah. It pops up, you slap it. Pops up, you slap it. You never know when it's going to pop up. That's the problem. Well, sometimes you can, because when I had that spirit of Jezebel, who was a raving maniac, I mean, that anger, I could feel it almost like a volcano. And I, you know what? I'll tell you what. It works the same way with a murderer, with a child molester, with a rapist. It works the same way. I've heard them talk about it. They can feel it. I heard this, a guy that was in prison for rape. He was a serial rapist. And he confessed that he didn't feel like raping all the time. But all of a sudden, it, that's why I call it the it factor, whatever it is in your life, you know when it is starting to demand to be satisfied. And that's how it was with that rapist. He said all of a sudden, it would cause him to start stalking someone out, picking the victim, watching them, to see their habits and everything, and then at the right moment, they attack. Same way with a child molester, same way with a murderer. It's these demons are there, and when they demand to be satisfied, if you have it, if you have a demon like that, you can't control it. You know it yourself. That's what my son said. Mom, I go up there. He's crying. Mom, I don't know why I do these things. I don't want to do these things. I always say I'm never going to do it again, and then before I know it, I've done it. You know, that is a demon. Something that you just cannot control because it takes you over. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Okay, so Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, he said to the disciples, and are we disciples?
Yes,
learners of Christ. That's what a disciple is. A learner of Christ, a follower of Christ. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick. Heal them. He told the 70, whatever city you come in, you go into, heal their sick. That's what he told them. That'd be a little intimidating, but he gave them the power to do it, and he's given us the power to do it. Go for the miracle. Go for it. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. John 14:12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And in Luke 10:37, he said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We need to be about our Father's business. We all came here with stuff. In the story of Lazarus, he was dead, just like we all are before we receive Christ. When we receive Christ, we're born again. Lazarus had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus called him out of the grave, and it said he came out, but he was bound with grave clothes. That's what we have. See, we live to a certain age, and then we get saved. And we stand in that safe place, but we've got grave clothes from our old life. The casting out of demons is part of the sanctification process. This lie that the devil has told the church that a demon cannot have a Christian is killing many Christians.
Right.
The churches are full. The pews are full of sicknesses that run the gamut, the same gamut that the unsaved have. That ought not be. James said, are any among you sick? I think the harder question would be, is anybody here well? Is there anybody here who is not taking some kind of medication for some kind of tormenting sickness that you have? And I'm not condemning you if you do. I'm just telling you Jesus can take care of it. We need to bring our faith where Jesus is. He told me one year, don't ask me to heal. I've already done it. Apply what I've done to the sickness. That's where we need to get. You got a sickness in your body? Start talking to it. I pray for people. And then I give them homework. Now, your assignment is every day you speak death to that thing until it's gone. Cast that spirit, you spirit that's causing this, get out of my body in the name of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus has dealt with sickness and disease. He took it. When I found out that he took it, boy, I was so thankful. I let him have it now. I just apply health to my body, healing, life. So people say that Christians can't have a demon. Well, I just gave you the grave clothes thing, so if people say, oh, no, you can, I'm teaching and I'm helping you teach others how to believe the truth. You know, Paul, he would make people, Jesus, they would get so mad at him because he spoke the truth. Paul spoke the truth. And in Galatians 5:16, Paul said, what, now I've become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's a line I remembered. what? Now become an enemy because I tell you the truth? Listen, that, what's wrong with the truth? That's what I want to know. How come people can't speak the truth? I had to deal with a situation one time, and I kept praying and asking God, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with this? He said, tell them the truth. And it was terrifying. But you know what? What's wrong with the truth? The church, people call the church hypocrites. I'm sorry to tell you, we are. We walk around like everything's fine when things are not fine. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's so much confusion in the church. We are to call those things that are not as though they are. That doesn't mean, like somebody will email me, listen, I have this. Now, I'm not speaking negatively or cursing myself. No, I understand that. To tell the truth is not cursing yourself. If I say I have a headache, I just want you to know I have a headache. Pray for me. You don't walk around with a headache and say, I don't have a headache. The devil is a liar. No. That's not how you deal with it. I'm talking about we have relationship problems. Somebody we won't even speak to, and we go into a church meeting and sit in that church meeting with that person and act like everything's fine. That is a lie. It's hypocrisy. Jesus tells us how to deal with things. If we do it the biblical way, we'll have the biblical results. Okay, so in the New Testament, we read about in Matthew 21, Jesus went to the temple and they were selling, exchanging money in the temple. And he makes the court, we all know this story, drove them out. They were in the outer court of the temple. The temple is three parts, Holy of Holies, inner court, outer court. We are three parts. In 1 Corinthians 6, we are called the temple of the Holy Ghost. We have a Holy of Holies, that's our spirit. We have an inner court, that's our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. And then we have an outer court, which is our flesh. That's where the demons want to be. In the temple, they were in the outer court. In our temple, they're in the outer court, defiling us. Jesus went in, it says in verse 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out. I like that. Cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. After he cast them out, it says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. See, there are things in our outer court that are keeping us from being healed, and we need to deal with those things. They were healed after those were cast out. So now I want to read to you a story in Matthew chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, you can look along. Matthew chapter 8. This is another well-known story. It really happened too. These are not stories. These are not just allegories. These real things really happened. Matthew chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 28. And when he was come, Jesus, to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come here to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and herd of many swine feeding. Now I want you to look at this. They look over here, and there is a herd of swine feeding. Have you ever seen pigs feeding? There was a herd of them. That's a bunch. They've got their nose to the ground, and they're moving that snout, and they're eating whatever they find. They were peaceful. They were perfectly at peace, just eating, like we would be sitting at the table eating our meals. So the demons besought Jesus, saying, if thou cast us out. Isn't it interesting they knew he had the power to cast them out? Can I tell you the demons that you come in contact with know that you have the power to cast them out? They see Jesus in you. They are horrified. And then we do nothing and they rejoice. If thou cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently. See what happened when the demon entered? Violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. What's the reality of what they did? They all committed suicide. That occurred to me one day because my sister-in-law jumped off a bridge into the water. The bridge was like, I don't know how many feet high that bridge is. It's like I've been told when you hit the water from that height, it's like hitting concrete. Every organ explodes with that force. Is that violent? When a person puts a gun in their mouth, that's violent. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to those possessed with the demons. Now, I don't want us to get caught up on terminology. Where is my definition? I must have it. Okay. Possessed. Demoniac. It says a human being possessed by a demon, one whose volition, and that means their own choices, their will, and other mental faculties are overpowered, restrained, or disturbed in their regular operation by an evil spirit or by a created spiritual being of superior power. They take over. They work against your will. Even like my son said, I don't want to do these things, but I'm doing them. That's a demon. Possessed means occupied, affected by demons or invisible agents. Affected, affected, A-F-F, not E-F-F, but affected. It means moved or touched, either in person or in interest, having suffered some change by an external force. That's what it means to be possessed of a demon. They don't possess your whole being, just part of it. And then it comes up and takes over. You hear people say that their look changed before they did this evil thing. They would get a look in their eyes. You know why? Because this is how it works. Here's you. And here's the demon down here. And when it starts stirring and wants to be satisfied, it comes up and puts you under. Almost like sometimes they remember seeing the thing happen, but it wasn't them doing it. So it's a complicated thing, but it's very real. That's what it means to be possessed. Okay, so the personality of this, well, let's go on, because this is in three different places, and I want to show you the personality of it. We're going to go to Mark 5 now, from Matthew 8 to Mark 5. And we're talking about the personality of this demon that was in this man. 5:1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. For he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Now what man, regular, ordinary man or woman, can break chains? No. These things have supernatural strength. Demons have supernatural power. and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Do you see the personality of this demon? That's his personality. He's got supernatural strength. The last one said he was fierce. He would let no man pass by the way. He was violent. He was day and night in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Sounds like he was depressed. And he had some self-destructive tendencies. You know, that goes on today. Cutting. It's called cutting. I'm a cutter, they say. I'm a cutter. They've got scars all over them from where they've cut themselves. That's a demon. You can't counsel somebody to stop cutting themselves when a demon is taking them over and using their body. I'm going to show you that in a minute. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now that word worshipped in this sense, he wasn't worshipping him as the Son of God. He ran toward him and put himself in a posture of submission. He had heard about Jesus. He wanted help. But listen to what the it factor, says through the man. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. See, the demon didn't want to be tormented. Never mind that he's tormenting this man. He doesn't want to be tormented. Because when Jesus saw that man, I don't know why they have this not backwards, but it seems like this scripture should have come first. For Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." That's why he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, Son of the Most High?" Because Jesus said, "Come out of him, thou unclean spirit." The demon talked back to him. Then Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." What did I say the definition of multiple was? Many. See, multiple personalities, those are demons. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. All those demons are begging Jesus. The demons besought Jesus not to be cast out. The demons will beseech you. The demons say, "Go ahead. Do it. Nobody will know." That's what the demons do. Here's how sick Satan is. "Come on. Just do it. It'll be great. Nobody will know it." And all the while, you're fighting against it. And you think that it's you. You're having this argument, but you think it's you. It's not you. It's a demon. If you're arguing with yourself, you better tell that other thing, "Get out in Jesus' name." So he seduces you with that seducing spirit, whatever your deal is, whatever it is in your life, brings you in, and then you do it, and then he goes, "Oh, look what you did, you evil, wicked thing." Then the shame comes, and the self-condemnation, and the guilt. Now there was there near unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding again, and all the demons besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." See, they got to have a body. They can't do anything without a body. That's why they want a body. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And when they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed. Okay, here's the good part. Before the encounter with Jesus, this man is wild, violent, breaking chains. But after Jesus, in verse 15, And they come to Jesus and see him that was, like that word, was possessed with the demon and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were more accustomed to the crazy man. People are afraid of things they don't understand. Okay, and now we're going to turn to Luke 8. We're going to see a couple of more characteristics of this personality called Legion. And they're in the world today. They're happening. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start at 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, Jesus, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils for a long time. It doesn't matter how long you've had, you're it. For a long time, and wore no clothes. Here we see another characteristic of the personality of this legion. Wore no clothes, and here's another one, neither abode in any house. Do you think the homeless people might have some of these demons? They don't live in a house. They wander. They don't live in the tombs. They live under a bridge. They live on the sidewalks. They have little cities of their own out in a little unpopulated area where they put up their little pup tents. And most of them are alcoholics and drug abusers and murderers and all manner. They have a lot of demons, those people. But they can be set free with Jesus. And do you know that if when you go in all of the accounts of people that were had demons cast out of them or were healed of a sickness, immediately the people and the person glorified God and wanted to follow Jesus. See, it's an evangelical thing. It could be the greatest evangelical tool of all. Heal somebody that's sick. They're gonna know that nobody else in the world has been able to do that. It must be God. Only God could do that. And then they want to know about Jesus. They want to follow Jesus because of the goodness that God bestowed upon them. But make no mistake, there are demons. There are healings that are not from God. Now, if there were certain people in this room, I'd have to say, what, now I've become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Hocus pocus healings. I think they call it Reiki or Reiki. Whatever. Witchcraft. Let's call it what it is. They're going to remove an organ without cutting the skin or anything. Look, that's not a miracle. That is witchcraft. No, Jesus just healed them. There was no hocus pocus when he healed. There were no special oils used. Witchcraft. Let me tell you, anything you look to other than becomes idolatry. People are depending on things that one of these days they're not going to be able to get their hands on. In fact, some of the things they're depending on, now you can have a lawsuit because it's going to kill you. Or it already did. If you're someone in your family took this medication and they bled to death, come join our law firm. We'll get you lots of money. Just about everything. You know what? My mother had an endoscope. Is that what you call it? We get home, and from that time forward, everything she would eat or drink. I was like, Mama, what is the deal? I don't know. It's like there's something in my throat all the time. So my son is a doctor. I call him up. Hey, Wade, ever since Mama had that endoscope, he goes, oh, don't tell me. I said, what? Is she clearing her throat a lot? Yes. It's so annoying. He said, well, sometimes when they put that scope down the throat, they injure something in the throat. Well, what can we do about it? Well, it can only be fixed by surgery. You know, they really, and I don't have anything against doctors. They're trying to help, but many times they hurt. And you know what? When those debates were going on, I just have to say this. I'm stepping away from my teaching right now. But when they were having that debate and he confronted her about the abortion issue, oh, I was hoping he would remember to say this. Doctors take an oath. Well, that's not even good in itself, but doctors take an oath first to do no harm. I would call murder harm. What is up with that? Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. Even the endoscope, you know. Oh, it's whatever you are trusting in besides the Lord becomes an idol. And people are aghast when I say that sometimes. I say, okay, let me ask you a question. Here's how you know if it's an idol. Let's say all the pharmaceutical companies closed down today and you couldn't get your medicine. Are you going to have a panic attack? If you do, it's an idol. And I got to tell you this, those days are coming where you're not going to be able to get your medicine. So start building your faith on the one who died on the cross and shed every drop of his blood for you to be whole. It's part of your inheritance. Listen, if someone told you today that somebody left you an inheritance down at such and such a bank, you'd be there as soon as the bank opened to see what you were getting. And I would venture to say that most people know more what their benefits of their insurance company is than these benefits. In Psalm 103 it says, and forget not all his benefits. Oh my goodness, how we have minimized Jesus and what he did for us. Okay, so the fact that the guy had no clothes on, I happen to personally know two people right now that have situations with autistic, one's a child, one's an adult. They don't know what comes over the adult. It's a young woman. She just jumps up and runs outside and takes all of her clothes off and runs down the middle of the road. Well, I've seen that somewhere. Yeah. I think that might be one of the many. One of the many. But listen, when I came to Glenn's funeral, I was driving home. And I don't know what to call it. I don't know if it was a vision, a word of knowledge. I don't know what. But I suddenly had knowledge that the warfare between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness is intensifying. And we're going to start seeing things we've never seen before. And we're going to start hearing things that we've never heard before. And we are vessels of the living God. And we need to know that when something like that comes up, you know, Jesus would just walking out his life, and some demon, he went into a synagogue, a tabernacle, or I think it was a synagogue, and one cried out. And Jesus said, hold thy peace and come out of him. You see? That's all he did. And it came out with a shriek. So when are we going to be bold enough to say, shut up and come out of him in the name of Jesus? Out in the name of Jesus. It doesn't take a 4-hour session to cast a demon out. Shouldn't have to fight with them. I'd call on the angels to hold them down. They'll do it. It's the name of Jesus. It's not anything we have. That's what it means that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't have Jesus in him. We do. Everyone born again has Jesus Christ, has authority, has power. I have an aunt. I've talked about my aunt. She has a multiple personality. Those of you who have heard me say before, she really, I call her my spiritual mom. She taught me how to go to God with my problems. I would go to her. I could go to my daddy. But this aunt, I would just pour out my heart to her. And it was just amazing. I was expecting her to tell me something. She would just grab my hand and close her eyes and say, "Father, you've heard every word she said." And she would just take me right to the throne room. She is an intercessor. She prays for my family every single day. And she's 94 now, and her days are numbered. And I said to the Lord one day when it occurred to me that she's going to be gone pretty soon, "Lord, who will pray for me when she's gone the way she has prayed for me and my family?" And God said, "Every prayer she's ever prayed is eternally before my face." That was a comfort. Anyway, she's in a nursing home. Mike and I stopped by Thanksgiving evening just to say hey to her. My mother had already told me what happened, but she said, "Carla, let me tell you what happened to me the other day." And when I started learning about demons, I shared everything with her. And I've just decided it's a generational thing. She just couldn't get it. And she just could not comprehend the demonic thing. So, but her other personality, I mean, she is taking to the throne room of God. She is very generous. She's very loving. She's very understanding. On the flip side, you don't even want to know the flip side. That's a multiple personality. I had several of them, and probably still have some that I haven't seen yet. Other people have seen them. One guy asked me, he invited me to teach at his church, and he said, "Well, what are your gifts? What are your gifts?" I said, "I really think you could probably get a better answer from somebody else, you know?" And that works the same way. You take a personality test, let somebody else answer your questions for you. My son, being a doctor, he always sends me these little tests and you know, answer as honestly as you know how, because sometimes you don't want to be honest. Of course, I don't put a lot of stock in those tests anyway, but he wanted to know what letters I was. Poor thing. He found out his were exactly like mine. I could have answered Mike for him. And I'm sure he could have answered mine too. But the it factor. Well, this is what my aunt said. She said, "Let me tell you what happened to me the other night." And she's in a nursing home. And believe me, there's a lot of demons in nursing homes. She said there was a man standing over there looking at himself in the mirror. There's a little alcove. And she said, "I see you over there. Who is it?" Didn't answer. Just kept looking at himself in the mirror. She said, "I can see you over there. Who are you?" She said it a third time. She said the man came around to the side of her bed. My mama said, "She dreamed that." Well, I'm not so sure. He came around the side of the bed, and he put his knee on the bed, and he leaned over, and he pinched her nostrils shut. And said, "You think you're a woman of God? You're Satan." That's what he said to her. I said, "Well, what did you do?" She said, "Well, I brought my knees up because I got long legs and I was going to kick you." I said, "No, Aunt Frank, no, no, no." I said, "Listen, if that ever happens again," and I didn't hear how she got rid of him. I don't know if he just vanished or what, but I said, "The next time anything like that happens, you just stick your finger up there and say, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here.'" And it will go. It will go in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't scream at it. Don't try singing a song to it. I had one manifest one time. I was with two women, and one of them manifested. I mean, I called it the jack-in-the-box spirit because it startled me. I mean, just came out of the chair. The chair flew. All of a sudden, she was the size of Goliath. And I was like, for a split second. And then I started finding it. But see, it wasn't her. It wasn't her. It was an it. When it shows up, you better know what to do with it. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. Break your power and command you to get out in the name of Jesus. That's our gun, people. You know, these people that are buying all these weapons and stuff. I don't deny you your Second Amendment right to have a gun. We have them in our house. I don't carry a gun. My husband wishes I would carry a gun. I said, honey, I got the finger of God. I could tell you a really neat story about that finger of God, but God showed me in a dream what to do. I mean, something came in me. It was a force that's not my own, and I stuck my finger out. I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And it was a crocodile, and it rolled over dead. Rolled over dead. I'm going to quick through this, because then I went to, see, that was a dream. Okay, it had a spiritual meaning about, it had to do with evil. So I went to the Bahamas, and there was this celebration going on, and it was very demonic. The islands have lots of demons. And so they started these drums. That went on from sundown till after midnight. I was about ready to, I couldn't sleep, and the electricity went off all of a sudden. And it was September in the Bahamas, and it was hot. Anyway, I didn't know if I was going to be able to sleep or not. There was a lot of other stuff around this, but finally, that dream occurred to me. It just dropped into my spirit. And so I said, I was with some other people, I said, this is going to probably look ridiculous and sound crazy, but I'm doing it. Because they were right behind our hotel doing this. I pointed my finger and I said, in the name of, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, shut up and go home. And before I got my finger about right here, and Meryl's daddy loved Westerns, and I told him this story. I said, it stopped when I got about right here, and I thought, oh, man. That's what they do in the wind. They blow their gun, you know. But listen, I was shocked. I'm telling you, don't be afraid to do it. Go for it. Go for the miracle. Okay, so he didn't have any clothes on. He didn't live in a house. See, these are demonic personalities. And how can you tell what they are? By the way they behave. That Jezebel spirit, see, my Aunt Frank had that Jezebel spirit. Still has it. Maybe that's what he was saying. You're Satan. Jezebel is a wicked spirit. I hated that thing. Satan had me thinking that all of those things were me. Therefore, I hated me. I had self-hatred. I went to the psychiatrist. I said, I'd be better off if I just wasn't here. He said, are you suicidal? I said, no. I just wish I'd never been born. Everybody would be better off if I didn't even exist. That's where I was. I'm telling you, it was a deep, dark hole. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to think it's you so that you'll hate yourself. And he'll talk in your ear. These people that have anorexia, where they can't eat, that's a demon. Say, you don't even deserve to eat. You're fat. You're disgusting. That's what the demon does. Those are demons. That's not something you need counseling for. Someone needs to cast the demon out of that person and set them free. The unclean spirit. Unclean means impure, ceremonially or morally lewd. Lewd means having an eager appetite for or one addicted to sexual pleasures. You've seen people with that spirit. I call it the hoochie-coochie spirit. You see these women and they're hoochie-coochie and they're dressed and you can see almost see every pore in their body and they've got clothes on. But not much. And everything that they want to show is showing. That's the hoochie-coochie spirit. And there's another spirit on the other side called lust. That you can they can pick them out. It's amazing when you start understanding how these things work. Obscenities. People who speak and using obscenities, impure language. Given to the unlawful indulgence of lust. Addicted to fornication or adultery. You know, people who commit adultery, that's a demon. Those familiar spirits are bringing them together. And you know what? Let me tell you what I've learned. Sex is the highest form of witchcraft in the land. That's how they hook you. That's how they control you. And it's amazing because they'll use the seducing spirits and the spirit of the charmer. And before you know it, you've already done it. And wondering, how in the world did that happen? We need to know. We should not be ignorant of his devices, lest he get an advantage over you. He wants you to be ignorant of how he works because he wants to get an advantage over you. Provoking to sensuality. This is the unclean spirit. Foul, unclean. Even one of the unclean spirit, where was it? It has something to do with another person that has emailed me recently, has a child with autism, and she can't go to work because nobody will take care of him. She said if it's God's will for him to have this, then I'll accept it. I thought, man, they've learned some wrong doctrine. She said, then in the next sentence, she says, but I really don't think it's God's will for my son to spread his feces all over and urinate all over the house. And I can't take him anywhere because I can't keep his clothes on him. And he's constantly hurting himself. He's either, he's violent, boxing me or boxing himself. He broke his own nose, hitting himself. That is a demon. Medication doesn't help that. And why we don't just bind it and cast it out in the name of Jesus. Do you know one little boy who was healed of autism in a meeting where I was? It didn't happen instantly. 6 months later, he was a normal kid. But God told me that the child was a prisoner of war. He was a foster child. His parents were in the war and they lost. And his illness was his prison. And what does it say? Also in Luke 4:18, it says that we are to preach deliverance to the captives and set at liberty them that are bruised. I prayed the arrested development prayer over him, and 6 months later he was going to regular school. He was in special ed. He couldn't even talk. He couldn't even focus his eyes. His eyes flittered and jittered, and I don't even know how he walked. That's a demon. Okay, so we see all of these things. And when you read the Bible, you will see others, like the woman who had the spirit of infirmity. She was bent over 18 years and couldn't straighten herself. That was the personality of the particular infirmity that she had. Infirmities have personalities. Cancer has a personality. Diabetes has a personality. How does it behave? Well, this, and this. Heart problems, they all act the same way. If you have high blood pressure, it has a personality, a characteristic. You can start naming some symptoms and they're going, oh, that sounds like you need to go to the doctor because you may have diabetes. Demons are the same way. Okay. The boy that could not hear, He was blind and deaf. Jesus cast out the foul spirit, and then he could hear and see, speak and see, the deaf and dumb spirit, all of these things. He had to cast those spirits out, and then guess what? Then they could do whatever they couldn't do before. It's a miracle. That is a power to cast out devils that will bring healing to people. That is a miracle. And then they'll glorify God and want to follow Jesus. But you need to ask God. You know, it says test the spirits. If you see somebody doing a... And you know what? It says that's going to be an end-time deception. That the beast, the Antichrist, will perform miracles that are not from God. So we need to ask God to give us wisdom to know the difference and to discern. You know, the discerning of spirits, it says in Hebrews, is it 12:4 or 4:12? Is it 4:12? The word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword and is a discerner. If you need more discernment, get in your word. The word, if you have the word in you, it's going to help you discern the real thing from deception. Well, I'm going to stop there because it's almost noon, and I'm going to do some deliverance now. I hope that you've been thinking about what your multiple personality might be. Everything that God created you to be. You know what it says in the Word? That we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. If you have things in your life that are not Christ-like, then those are your it factors that need to be dealt with. If you're a liar, that's a demon. If you have problems with sex, that's a demon. It comes with the unclean spirit. We just read it. Okay? So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, first of all, I ask you to bring to my memory everything I've discussed that needs to be cast out. Because I don't have, per se, a list today. Because I didn't really know where this was going to go. But right now, Father, I thank you that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy, that nothing by any means should hurt us. I thank you that you have given us your name, the authority. You gave us permission to use your name to cast out devils. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am speaking to the spirit of multiple personalities. Any entity that is in you that was not God-given, I bind it right now and command it to come out of you. I command anger. I command the evil spirit of anger come out in the name of Jesus. All fear spirits go. Panic attacks, anxiety, worry, fretting, go in the name of Jesus. All you fear spirits, shyness, timidity, fear of man, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of fear off of your life. For it is written that you've not been given the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Now all fear, come out now in the name of Jesus. Fear of dying, fear of Alzheimer's, fear of never having a mate, fear of sickness, fear of death, go. It says that the fear of death holds us in bondage all our life. Go. You fear of death, get out in the name of Jesus. All shyness and timidity. You've not been given timidity. You've been given power and a sound mind. I come against insanity. I come against mental diseases. I come against oppression and depression, manic depression, bipolar. I speak to bipolar and I break your power. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Insanity, you go. Hearing voices, I command those voices, shut up and get out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against sadness and sorrow. Spirits of sadness and sorrow, the spirit of heaviness, I bind you and command you to get out in Jesus' name. Oppression, depression, go. Suicide, spirits of suicide, self-hatred, self-condemnation, voices telling you to kill yourself. I speak to those spirits and I command you to shut up and go in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of infirmity, all sickness. Get out diabetes, heart disease, blood diseases, bone diseases, go in the name of Jesus. Rashes, tumors, heart disease, pancreas problems, gallbladder problems, any organ in your body that has an infirmity, I speak to that infirmity now. You have been defeated by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus. I come against constipation in the name of Jesus. Fear and being so uptight you can't even have a bowel movement. I bind that in the name of Jesus. I speak to your organs to work like they're supposed to. And if they're not, you speak to your organs every day. Whatever's going wrong, I command you to straighten up in the name of Jesus. You work like you're supposed to work in Jesus' name. I come against all pain in the body. Pain, you go in the name of Jesus. Fibromyalgia, I curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go. Psalm 91 says, no noise and pestilence will come near your tent. That means any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus that covers it all. I come against I speak death to any bacterial infection in your body right now in the name of Jesus. Bacteria, I speak death to you. I speak death to any viruses in your body in the name of Jesus Christ. I apply the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus to any infirmity in your body or on your body in the name of Jesus. I speak to tumors, unnatural tissue. I break your power. I speak death to you in the name of Jesus. And I say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I apply the shed blood of Jesus to your bodies in the name of Jesus. I strip off the grave clothes. Whatever is holding you back from being conformed to the image of Christ, Jesus said, loose them and let them go. I say, loose them and let them go. I strip those grave clothes off of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. I bind those spirits right now. I bind them in the name of Jesus. I break your power and command you to come out in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man in Jesus' name. I break the power of the strong man in the name of Jesus. You loose her and let her go in Jesus' name. Get out. Get out in Jesus' name. Get out. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to legion. I speak to legion. Go. I speak to the many. I speak to split personalities. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to multiple personalities. You go in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. You go. The name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Get out. I send the angels to assist in the name of Jesus. I call on the angels to assist. I send in the hornets to go in and drive them out. Drive them out in Jesus' name. We take the land. We take the land that's been given to us. We claim our inheritance, the fullness of our inheritance. In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. I speak to all the transgressions that are ruling people, spirits of rebellion and sin. I speak to every unclean spirit. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of their eyes, you unclean spirits. Come out of their mouth, obscenities and lewd talking and behavior. Get out. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Anything that is in your body that should not, every spirit not of the Holy Spirit, I bind you and break your power and command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to the it factor, whatever your it is, I break its power and command it to come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And Lord, whatever has begun, I thank you that you're a God that finishes what you have started. So I thank you that whatever has begun here will be finished in the name of Jesus. You said it is finished. Amen and amen. Lord, we thank you for the food we're about to have. We thank you for the provision. Lord, we thank you that we can eat in peace. I ask that it would nourish our bodies.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless it and bless each person in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, right now I bind every spirit of backlash and retaliation. I bind that spirit right now and forbid it to operate in God's people. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.